And we're happy to have Detroit Police Chief James White in studio, along with Commander Matthew Fulginzi. Thank you both for being here. Appreciate it. And I'd like to really kick off this show letting people know that this will be quarterly. We will have the chief in here to update us on the initiatives of the department and give you a chance as the listener to call or text. And that number again, 800-859-0WJR. 800-859-0WJR. You can ask questions of the chief if you live in the city. You see some things that you want him to address. He's there for that. If you live outside the city, you come in and you enjoy yourself in the city and you see something that maybe you think needs to be addressed, please give us a call, let the chief know. And let me be the first to say congratulations to you and the men and women of the Detroit Police Department, Chief, on what you're doing, all the hard work keeping the city safe. But you're always one to say that the work still continues. It is not done. You don't take the victory lap very much.
Absolutely not. But thank you. Thank you. We've got the best police department in the country. They work very, very hard for us. But it's way too much crime in our city. We're very proud of the reductions that we've gotten, lowest since 1966. But no way are we asking for a victory parade because we've got a lot of work to do.
And I know earlier there was a mental health issue, a crisis that was going on, I believe, in the 9th Precinct. You have any information? Is that done? Has that been taken care of?
Yeah, it's done, but it's one of many that the officers are forced to deal with on a day-in and day-out basis. And in this particular incident, we had a person who barricaded themselves in a home threatening their spouse or significant other that resided with them. We were able to get her out safely and talk him out of the home without incident.
And you've done a lot with the mental health because it seems more and more, as we know we have this mental health crisis across the country, more and more the first responders are the ones that are there who are dealing with these mental health crises.
You know, you're absolutely right. One of the things we saw during the pandemic was an uptick in mental health crisis. And I don't know if it was illuminated by the pandemic with the isolation that the pandemic caused, or if it was something that was just hidden behind so many other things. But I will say that it's something that the numbers we're seeing now, we have never seen. And the officers on a daily basis are responding to these runs. And frankly, ideally is not the perfect place for this crisis to have landed in the police department's lap or police departments around the country. But we're forced to deal with it. We're going to do our very best. But ideally, we're going to need long-term treatment facilities throughout the state to really make an impact on what we're seeing.
And the department has done some things when it comes to mental health as far as this mental health unit and the different cars. And talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah, and so just to give you some context of some of the numbers that we see, just in just mental violent arm runs for 2024 service, it was over 1,000.
Wow.
Already this year, and that doesn't include all the other mental health runs. Last year, we handled over 10,000 mentally challenged folks runs that we had to deal with. So it was necessary for us to build out our mental health co-response. We did that. We've got officers now that are assigned with a civilian mental health provider that handle the runs, go out, stabilize the situation, de-escalate, which is the primary responsibility of this unit, is to focus on the de-escalation and patience and dealing with someone whose behavior is completely unpredictable because of their condition. The other thing that I'm really, really proud of is the fact that we've got a civilian mental health provider in the 911 dispatch center.
Okay.
And so when that call comes in, oftentimes they're able to start to stabilize the situation on the front end. Our special response team, which people identify as our SWAT team, they when they deploy for mental health isolations or mental health barricades, we respond with on our car a mental health provider. So we're putting these mental health providers out with our officers in these critical incidents to ultimately get the outcome that we want.
And you have non-lethal weapons as well.
We do. We have deployed a number of tools to help the mental health co-responders as well as the officers. One is non-lethal weapons, and I don't want to overpromise with that tool. Obviously, when an officer is dealing with someone who is unpredictable and armed, some of these tools may not work, but we have had some really good early success, particularly with bolo wrap. The best way to describe bolo wrap is you've got someone with a knife and you've got enough distance from them or bat or stick You're able to deploy this bolo wrap if you get enough distance between you and the person where they no longer pose a threat to you. You don't want them to be a threat to someone else.
Right.
You deploy this bolo wrap, and for your listeners, think of Spider-Man.
It's a little like Spider-Man.
Right.
You wrap them up.
And you know, we've heard some folks say, well, you know, that's not a good look. Well, we're trying to save their lives, and we're trying to save our lives. And the three times that we've deployed it, we've had no injury.
Terrific.
To the person in crisis.
So to Lloyd's point, you don't take a victory lap, but I'm going to insist upon it, okay? Because I want to look at the numbers for 2024. Criminal homicide, down 35%. Sex assault, down 10%. Aggravated assault, down 6%. One of the big ones, robbery, down 25%. Carjackings, down 34%. Non-fatal shootings, down 25%. What's changed?
Well, you know, we've got a partnership, collaboration. We're working with our partners, which is super important. You know, we've got people. Everyone cares about City of Detroit, and we've got a lot of good momentum. We're blessed to have a mayor who understands policing. We forget that he's a former prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a police chief and you can talk to a mayor that understands policing and understands some of the things that you're asking for and why you're asking for them, that makes life easier. One of the things with the pandemic, the courts shut down. We went from having trials and to really having a backlog. The mayor was able to work with the Wayne County exec, the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, the Third Circuit Court, the 36th District Court, Chief Judges, and Michigan Department of Corrections, and bring these folks to the table and say, hey, how do we get this thing moving again? I'm at that table. We start to attack that docket and get it moving, and it really helped address those folks who are committing crime. On the front end of the work, you've got the best police department in the country. I'm going to say it again. They're out there really deploying our 12-point plan, our strategy, working hard. You add the 10% raise to that, that helps.
And bringing back some officers who had left, too.
Absolutely. Over 60 officers have returned to our department. You boost morale of the men and women that are working when they get that type of raise. And so deployment isn't an issue for us. We're continuing to hire. I got over 100 in the academy right now. They'll be going out to a street near you this summer. And so all of that working together, we really grabbed a piece of the momentum that was happening and the community. I mean, the community is tired of this senseless violence. Absolutely tired.
And that's really big. You know, they talk about community policing, but, you know, the folks in the community are saying, we don't want this here either. Oh, he's taking a sip. Yeah, that's okay. He's taking a sip of water. That's okay.
Not a radio person. No, the community, you know, I get calls all the time, and it really is the quality of life issues. It's the drag racing and the drifting and the noise and those types of things. And then the senseless violence. I mean, people making impulsive decisions to resolve a dispute with a weapon. I mean, that is, I mean, it's unnecessary. It's illogical. And we have a very focused approach to violent crime. You know, we're not going to tolerate it. And our team uses data to drive our decision making, and we get in those areas of high crime and we address it.
Chief James White is here.
We've got a couple calls on the line.
Okay.
We want our callers to stay there. Deborah, Mia, Don't go away, because we want to make sure that the chief can address your issues. We'll be back with that and more on JR Morning. It is a rare opportunity for you to connect directly with the leadership of the Detroit Police Department. And whether you are city, whether you are suburb, we all have a vested interest in making sure that this community is as safe as it can be. We all have perceptions about our level of safety in the city of Detroit, and we invite you to share them at 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR. And Chief, are you ready for the first call?
I am.
All right. Deborah from Rochester, welcome to JR Morning.
Thank you. I just want to tell you how wonderful I think your offices are dealing with people that have mental health. My son has bipolar schizophrenia, and he went off in one of his episodes and was talking in voices, and people were afraid, and they called. Five officers came out and spent 3 hours talking to him. They finally got him off to Stonecrest, where he stayed for 5 weeks. But I just want to tell you, they were nothing but incredible. I was there, and I just can't tell you. He's been taken to mental hospitals before, and it hasn't been such a great experience. But I want to tell you, thank you for training them in mental health.
Thank you for that. That warms my heart. And when you said 3 hours, that's the mental health co-response unit. They're patient, they wait, they de-escalate, and the run stops when the run ends. And if it's 3 hours or 8 hours, the key is to provide safe service to the community. So thank you for that.
Commander Fulgenzi, how much has that changed the way you approach those kinds of episodes at the street level?
You know, utilizing our resources and understanding the community, understanding the response, and de-escalating all of our situations and getting the help we need and taking someone to where they need to go. Downgrade any serious violence and helping out our community, helping out our officers, and having a very successful ending at all times.
And we have another caller, Mia in Livonia. Mia, welcome to JR Morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief, and thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
My comment is, you know, everything's good in the city of Detroit. I've gone down there for many events, and I feel pretty confident in the Detroit Police Force. It's the ride home. I think we need to probably have a little bit more presence on the freeway and in the streets as you're taking to the freeway. And, you know, maybe get the city to take care of some of the blight that you see in the buildings that are abandoned and everything that you see on your ride from the, you know, like going down 96. And then especially you see cars going 100 miles per hour and in and right. out of traffic. Another thing is that maybe you can share a lot of this with the suburbs, and maybe you can get Wayne County on board to, you know, do some of these things like the shot to, you know, to see where the shots are at and everything else and respond. Because, you know, all this is all moving around, and I know it doesn't get, a lot of it doesn't get reported, but, you know, there's a lot of gunshot victims, a lot of stabbings, a lot of things that are in the suburbs. And if people don't think, you know, that it's happening, they need to open their eyes. And, you know, right. like I said, maybe you can talk to some of your, you know, the people around in, you know, Redford, Dearborn, Inkster, you know, even in Livonia, we've got crime. So, you know, get them on board with what you're doing
okay.
so that we can make Wayne County a good, safe place to be.
Mia, thanks for your call and thanks for your perceptions. And she brings up something interesting, Chief, that the freeways are part of the perception of safety in the city of Detroit. And yet that's not necessarily your prime jurisdiction, is it?
Well, it isn't. But if it happens in Detroit, we are involved in it. We have great working relationship with Michigan State Police. I've never seen a better relationship in my 28 years. Wayne County Sheriff, he's at the table, Raphael Washington. And so she brings up some excellent points. Crime has no borders. And so we make sure that we consistently meet with our crime prevention partners, our enforcement partners. And, you know, like I said, she made some excellent points as it relates to the freeways. That's the primary responsibility from a traffic enforcement standpoint of the Michigan State Police. But certainly if anything criminal happens, we're right there as well.
And we know that Mayor Duggan has worked on the blight. There's a lot of it. So he might not have gotten to everything. But, you know, you can see some of it. And they're on it, basically.
They are. In fact, the land bank has done such an amazing job. They took down a building that I never thought I'd see go. It's an old YMCA that's now gone, and that whole area now has been revitalized as a result. I mean, it feels better driving past
that
of course. Area.
And it's not a haven for
crime. Right. And so, no, I think the land bank has done an amazing job. In a meeting a couple days ago, you know, they're very close within the next year of demolishing their last blight at home. And that's just how impactful they've been.
Wow.
So, no, super excited.
Well, she brought up big events, nothing bigger than the NFL draft. What are we, 28 days away? Everyone says that you're ready and you're trying to prepare for everything. I don't mean to bring negativity into it, but there was a scary situation with the Kansas City Super Bowl parade. How do you prevent something like that from happening here?
It's our layer approach. We've been at this for the last year. We understand the tragic incident that happened in Kansas City. Again, it's our layer approach to addressing this. We have a very strong law enforcement community here. When we've built out our plan, this is state, local, and federal partners. We have maximum staffing during this three-day event. We have the finest real-time crime center in the United States. We have a number of officers you'll see in the downtown area, but there's going to be a number that you won't see either.
Mm-hmm.
And taking these layered approach, I'm confident in our plan, and we're going to have a very safe and successful event.
Metal detectors, things you have to walk through?
The NFL draft is a weapon-free zone within the footprint. We will be deploying Evolve in and around the area as well to ensure the safety of all of our guests coming downtown.
Well, like when we had the incident in Greektown last year, there is a passive way you can check for guns as well. Tell me about some of the tech you're using.
You know,
Without giving it away.
Yeah,
absolutely. We never want to give away all of our strategies.
Not all your tricks. We don't want to do that. But
there are many things that the public does see, right? And that's our evolved deployment, our officers strategically placed in the downtown area. But as I touched on, our the finest real-time crime center in the country. We're utilizing technology, utilizing our camera assets, and understanding the dynamics downtown, understanding the flow of the public, and we're addressing all concerns.
And what about, like, it's like a Evolve, is that like the big metal detector that like several hundred people can go through, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a non-invasive weapons detection system. And you know, if you're carrying an illegal weapon, you should not do that. You should leave that at home because we're going to be very focused on illegal weapons. If you are legally carrying a weapon and you're going through Greektown and you've got your CPL or and all that with you, you just have it ready and be prepared to show it to us, and that's it. We're not telling you this isn't an anti-gun zone. This is an anti-illegal gun zone. So, and we're going to continue to deploy that constitutionally, and we're going to provide a safe environment for everybody.
So it's all hands on deck on those draft days. No one gets time off.
Well, I want to make sure I make a distinction, though. We were talking about Greektown and that deployment, but in the footprint of the NFL draft, there is no weapons, even if you are legally carrying. Right. You cannot come through there with a weapon.
That's good to hear because I know so many people are excited. This is a free event, so there's going to be thousands upon thousands of people down here, and you want to feel safe.
But how can you ensure that when you say weapons-free event, how do you enforce that? How do you make sure and guarantee that that's the case?
Well, we will be there. We will have a number of assets. Our real-time crime, I know it sounds like we're saying the same script, but that's what we live. I mean, that's how we deploy. And the weapons detection systems will encounter you. When you encounter them and they will be around, you cannot bring a gun through there.
And before we take a break, I got to ask you this. With all of the officers, you know, on duty, nobody off, and everybody downtown because of the NFL draft, how do you assure the folks in the neighborhood that they will still have coverage in the neighborhood?
Yeah, so that's why we are doing what's called our mobilization restricted. We're restricting the leave days. We're not taking anybody's vacation away from them, but those who are not on vacation will work that day. Those 3 days, everybody's working. We know we're going to have 300,000 people downtown. This is to ensure that we lose nothing in our communities, that we've got officers available to patrol our neighborhoods. So we're all working those 3 days.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a call on the line. We'll take Anthony's call. Anthony, hold on, and we'll be back with more of Chief White here on News Talk 760 WJR. And we have Detroit Police Chief James White in studio on JR Morning, and we have Anthony on the JR Live line with a call. Hi, Anthony.
Good morning.
What's your question?
Hello, Police Chief. Number one, thank you for your duty and everybody else underneath you doing a great, fantastic job for the city of Detroit.
Thank you.
I had two quick questions. Number one is, are you going to bring back the mounted division? I thought that was like a really nice PR thing when I was a younger chap, you know, seeing the officer. And I know that that's good for PR and kind of crowd control, you know, if you need be. And then the other question was, is there anything being done about these four-wheelers and mini bikes, stuff running up and down our main roads, going in and out of traffic, you know, unlawfully, basically?
All right, Anthony, thanks for your call. Chief, yeah, that kind of leads into the drag racing and drifting that you're dealing with as well. And I can only imagine as it gets warmer that it's going to increase.
Yes, and to the question on the mounted division, they are back. They've been back for many years. They had for a very small period of time, we had to pull them back a little bit, but they've been back and they're robust and they're a huge part of our crowd control strategy. So thank you for that. With regards to the ATVs, you're absolutely right. That's also part of the strategy we're using to combat drag racing and drifting, the ATVs, the four wheelers. We're going to be cracking down even more this year on the spectators. We're going to be enforcing those tickets on those folks. It's a very dangerous activity. We see it, but we don't talk a lot about the people who are struck by these vehicles, hospitalized, and you're going to see a tremendous focus on that this year. We're going to be using our aviation unit, helicopters, to ensure that we don't get any high-speed chases, but we're going to be looking to take these ATVs, take these drifters and drag racers' cars, and hold them accountable.
I saw a video on TV of some drag racing. I think it was maybe 7 Mile or something like that.
Well, it's all over social media.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And it was a police car right there in front. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you get those videos and people don't really know what the officers are doing. To the untrained eye, he's just sitting there and it's drag racing and drifting going, okay, if he activates, the guy's going to take off. But if he sits there a minute with his cameras on, guess what he's going to get? He's going to get a visual of who's inside the car. He's going to get a visual of the plate when that car spins around. And we're going to be able to meet him at his house when he gets there and take that car in the impound and make an arrest. And I don't know if we've made that arrest yet, but I know we are working on it. So there's more so going on than meets the eye.
Okay. Okay, definitely.
So everything on social media isn't what meets the eye. Get out of here.
Really? I got to ask you about these kids, Chief, getting a hold of guns. There's been a lot of that as well. And when I see you do these press conferences, you know, you try to hold back, but you could tell that, you know, you're just really upset that these kids keep getting a hold of these guns.
Yeah, it frustrates me to see a kid, you know, who's got a bright future ahead of him, and all kids do, you know, won't get a chance to be a radio personality, a police chief, a commander at a precinct. You know, because of some adult's ridiculous decision to A, have a gun and not keep it secure, but not care enough to make sure that at the very least the kids can't get a hold of it. So it is frustrating. And the prosecutor's charging these cases. And there's going to be an emphasis from our team to continue to submit warrants for these arrests of the people who are making these ridiculous decisions.
And you hear also, too, Chief, about young people who are found wandering. There was a kid who was found wandered away from his parents and stuff. And so that's another thing that, you know, parents really need to be vigilant and keeping an eye on their children.
Yeah, and you know, it's a lot going on, a lot, you know, social media and so many distractions. But, we can't be so distracted that we're not focused on the most important folks, and that's the kids. So I just want everyone to, you know, we had one this morning, you know, a kid that wandered away from a four-year-old. You know, and how are you missing your four-year-old and no one knows it? And but we were able to, you know, quickly identify where the parents were and return her and notify Child Protective Services. But again, you know, we need everyone's help. You know, when we were growing up, the term "it takes a village" is still true.
Yeah.
And we need that village to be focused on these young people.
We know that during and subsequent to the George Floyd disaster / tragedy, it was harder for police agencies. You guys took a lot of abuse in terms of the media landscape, and there was painted with a broad brush. How much harder has that made recruitment for you? And just talk about how you extend that and tell people that you're needed, you're valued, you're respected, and the Detroit Police Department needs your help.
Yeah, it made it harder from the standpoint of policing has to do a better job of communicating with its community and making sure that the community understands that, you know, when there's police misconduct, we don't tolerate that either. I mean, you know, most misconduct is reported by police officers, even more at a higher level than regular citizens, right. Non-law enforcement. So, you know, we don't tolerate police misconduct, and but we have to continue to understand it's our responsibility to strengthen the relationship of the police department with the community, and you take every opportunity you can to do so. You talk about the murder of George Floyd. You talk about openly and candidly when there's misconduct in a police agency, and that there's a standard of excellence in policing that each officer must adhere to, or they won't get a chance to wear this badge. Listen, wearing this badge is a privilege. It is not a right. You know, no one has a right to be a police officer. And if you want to be a police officer, you must and you shall conduct yourself in a manner that represents that agency in its best possible light. Because if you don't, you lose the community, you lose everything.
And that is so huge. And I have to say that the chief, you know, gets right on it when something is going wrong. He does get right on it. I got to ask you, too, about Dr. Hoover. Dr. Devin Hoover, and
Lloyd's on it. He asks you this all the time.
I do, and you know, because
I wish you could see the expression on the chief's face right now.
Lloyd, what's the latest on Dr. Hoover?
Hardworking men and women, Detroit Police Department, Homicide Section, our federal partners, working daily on this and other cases. You know, I inartfully stated a while ago, by the time the snow hits, but this is Michigan, I'm good until about July. But we're working, in all seriousness, a very tragic situation. Officers are working and the detectives are working on it. I'm confident we're going to bring this to closure. I'm not going to put a date on it, but I am very confident we're on the right track. I really am.
And we got about a minute left, and I got to ask you about ShotSpotter and how well that's been helping you in the police force with getting guns off the street.
Best tool we've ever deployed. And it is not a tool that profiles. The only thing ShotSpotter looks for is people who are firing guns in our community, which is a condition that should never be acceptable or tolerated. We've got folks that weren't even trusting calling 911 when they heard shots being fired. Now ShotSpotter is calling for them, and it's an outstanding tool. It's led to a tremendous number of guns getting off the street, and I think it contributes greatly to the crime reduction numbers that you're seeing right now.
Well, Chief, it was great to have you here this morning. I think we got a lot of information out. We got some great calls who called in, and thank you for calling those who did call in. And we hope to see you again real soon. We'll have you back in here, and we'll continue to do this and update the citizens of Detroit and the metro area about what's happening, the great things happening in the city of Detroit.
Well, and good luck and be safe. Big weekend. We've got the Panthers playing, the Sweet 16, and then the NFL draft on the heels of that. So
thanks for all you guys do. It's scary out there, and I'm so happy that you're there protecting us.
Well, thank you all for having us, and look forward to doing this again.
All right, Commander, pleasure meeting you as well. And hopefully you can send that message to the rank and file as well. We appreciate the appreciate it as well. And Kevin Dietz is in the house.
Kevin Dietz is loud.
Yeah, and he's just coming in, taking over the show now.
Yeah, All Talk is next. Hey, go Tigers.
Yes.
Let's take down those White Sox, get a good start in the season. We'll talk about it all tomorrow morning at 6 here on JR Morning.